one from last year and one from 2 years ago. And I looked them both over. And I think maybe, I don't know, I think I'm going to basically, one of them assumes that you have the, Shulchan Aruch with you, so maybe I think I'll give these the one that doesn't, okay? For an amalgam of the two, right? So at the end of the previous shiur, we were focusing on, at the end of the previous shiur, we were focused on Dam Shebishlo, right? And as we noted, this is an essential question for Hilchos Melicha, because as the Prima Gadim notes at the very beginning of Psicha Hilchos Melicha, which I quoted also on Wednesday, it's equivalent to asking whether Melicha solves a Dioraisa or a Drabonin problem. Without Melicha, we run the risk of Dam Shebishlo, cooking the meat, and wind up with Dam Shebishlo. So the Prima Gadim, to recast what the Prima Gadim's question is that a concern mina Torah or only me to Rabbanim? Right? So people get concerned, people get confused when Prima Gadim says, is Melicha Dioraisa de Rabbanim? The force of the question is, does Melicha correct a Dioraisa or a de Rabbanim problem? Right? So how about quasi-halachic Bishul? What if meat sat in water for 24 hours? And here I want you to hearken back to Siman Kuf Hei. Kavush. So like Bishul, the process of Kvisha also draws blood out from the meat, which is then reabsorbed during the soaking process, right? So the Kvisha is drawing it out over the time. Remember we said in the end that it's not kama-kama, but that it happens overnight. It's comma-comma, sorry, not that it happens right at the 24-hour period, but it's already moving the blood out, and some of the blood is coming out, the water is changing color. That is Dama Evarim, and as we learned last time, that's Dama Evarim, Shepei Reish V'yatza Alechutz. And the meat, therefore, becomes usser by virtue of the fact that it reabsorbs that blood, which is usser, right? Dama Evarim, Shepei Reish V'yatza Alechutz. So if you will look, then in making your note to look in Siman Samech Tes, Seit Tes Vav, Basar Hamut, now that we have the foundational principles, and I'll note that the Mechaber sometimes proceeds, following the tour, sometimes proceeds in the first Siman with foundational principles, sometimes follows the process, the halakhic process, the order of the process. In this case, he starts with the order of the process rather than foundational principles, which is why we went ahead in the Shulchan Aruch and then double back now to the beginning of the Siman. But he follows the order of the way in which the Gemara says to do it. Meidiach, Moleach, Meidiach. That's the order that the Gemara describes. So he follows the order of the process rather than, as we saw in Taruvos or in Pei Tes, in Pei Zion, beginning of Taruvos and Basar B'Cholov, where he more put down foundational principles. Here he's procedurals, which is why we like to start with the foundational principles first, so why we started later and now we're doubling back. Okay. Now in Seif Tes Vav, the Mechaber writes that Basar HaMeluchlach V'Damim, so a meat that's covered with, you know, bloody sediment, or on the outside is dirty with blood, so to speak. Shenishra b'mayim me'es la'es, and then was soaked in water for the 24-hour period. Yesh osrin la'ochlo ki'im tzli. Elim ken yesh b'mayim shishim kenegdo. So the words of the Mechaber here are actually a mixed citation from Rabbeinu Yerucham and the Sefer Agur. I only mention this because Rabbeinu Yerucham uses the words hamaluchlach bedamo, and then these are carried over by the Mechaber. They might seem to imply then that it's only the surface blood that we're concerned with, not the blood within, right? Because he says habasar hamaluchlach bedami, and he took that from Rabbeinu Yerucham. If you check the full context though of Rabbeinu Yerucham, you'll find it. It's actually in the Siv Tesvav Chelak Hamishi Os Kafei, for those who have Rabbeinu Yerucham. You'll see that it doesn't mean that. So the citation of the Mechaber has to be read from the context. When he uses the language of a particular Rishon or a Posek who preceded him, it's important to look at the words of the Posek in order to see what the, because he's following the Deya of the Posek. It's not that he's quoting the language of the Posek alone, and then the language stands by itself. So you need to check the full context. And if you do check that full context, you will see that it doesn't mean that. The Isur is simply that meat was soaked for 24 hours in water with the blood inside intact, and since kavush kemavushal dami, it has the same din as dam shebishlo. That's the din that we ended with. So Rabbeinu Yerucham writes, kibalti she'aser. The Agur uses even more interesting language. Ra'isi she'osrim also. The both are very wishy-washy halachic terms. It doesn't say yesh la'asro. He says, kibalti she'aser, as if Alpi Kabbalah, I know it's Usher, but Alpi Svara, no? Not an important point. I just want to make sure you aren't confused by the words Maluklach V'damim so that you don't over-conclude from the words of the Mechaber. And a methodological point, to be careful about picking up the Shulchan Aruch and reading the words of the Mechaber and concluding from the words of the Mechaber alone without first looking in the Torah and the Beis Yosef to see from whence it comes. The major point, though, is that the Mechaber followed an opinion cited by the Sharei Dura, which is Yesh Matirin Betzliya. So therefore, he then quotes, he says, Yesh Osrim Le'ochlo Ki'im Tzli. He doesn't say that Yesh Osrim Le'ochlo Klal, right? He quotes Yesh Osrim Ki'im Tzli. So in other words, he's following the opinion of the Shari Dura, who's not a big makil, as we've seen in many occasions, right? He says that you can eat that meat roasted, so that the blood that came out through soaking that was then reabsorbed can be still be drawn out through the act of roasting. Your Rabbeinu Yerucham never cites that opinion. So that's why I point out that this is the Mechaber's conflation of two shitos in the Rishonim. He just says that the meat's usser, since it is as if it were cooked in its own blood and therefore it absorbed blias dam sheperesh. Now, we don't hold that way, Acheinu Bnei Ashkenaz. You want to make a point?
What would be, or we should have been Yerucham and the Agur intentionally leave that out, that it can't be rectified through Tzli? And what would be the star to say something that we have, because if you didn't salt it at all, then you could rectify the situation through Tzli. So to say that, is there a star that reabsorbed blood can never then be removed?
Right, that only blood in its original
state can be
when it was miteva briyaso, which is the way we're going to wind up possible.
How do we know that?
Only the blood that was in the meat, miteva briyaso,
can be removed through Tzli.
Can be removed through, well, we'll see. In some cases, we'll get to Tzli in a little while. Okay? But the point I want to point out is that I understand, so I don't want you to cursorily look at this and say, I can't believe I was born in Ashkenazi, you know? All they are is machmirin, right? So the Ramah comes along and disagrees and forbids the meat even when it's roasted. I wanted to point out that the Mechaber conflated two opinions, right? And the Ramah doesn't agree with one of them, and it's not that he's just saying, you know, it's us or Alpiminik. He disagrees and he forbids the meat even when it's roasted. The important point, too, that we have to take out of this is that both the Mechaber and the Ramah agree that the meat cannot be resalted. That for sure. If the blood came out through some process, it was drawn out, fisha, right? Either in water for 24 hours, or in tzir for the shear that it took for that to come out, which could be as little as 18 minutes or even less. The process of kfisha re-injects the blood into the meat in such a way then that salting is no longer an effective means of removing it. The point of departure between them is whether roasting works. For the Ramah, then, there's no takana, there's no remedy for a piece of meat that was soaked may ace la ace without first salting. And that's the way we possibly. Okay? So if you had that meat salted, you know, that was soaked for 24 hours in water, and by the way, I've encountered this particular halacha in the old days on several occasions. Now, almost every butcher, I've been told, salts the meat before you take it home. Right? I think. I mean, you probably, I don't, know that isn't the case, but I don't know that it is. I know that I'm just checking with my wife and her mother. I know where they buy meat. It's always salted, right? And certain butchers in Teaneck have told me that they don't sell anything that isn't salted.
Except liver.
Sorry?
Liver.
Yeah. Well, liver because it's a process, right? Which we will go through. Haksharasa kaved for how we do that. What's the problem with liver? Liver is kulo dara, right? It's thoroughly imbued with dara. So, and as the heart is as well. So we're going to talk about what are the two processes for kaved and for liver. It was how I really understood the mimetic transmission of law was actually kaved. When I first got married, I was learning the sugyas for Yoredei. I was in Israel. We came home for at the end of the year, and I asked my wife's grandmother how to kosher liver, and it was exactly like the psak in the Shulchan Aruch. So I was like amazed. She knew exactly, and never opened up. A husband was a musmach, but and by the way, he had on the oldest form of smicha from Europe, from Galanta Yeshiva, which I have, and then from the States, which I have on one of my smichas also. She says, studied Kaf Chaf Simanim of Yeridea. It used to be they had to know 120 Simanim of Yeridea, and of course that includes Trefus, so that will not be on a YU smicha. Okay. We already saw in Hilchos Tarovus, by the way, that in Siman Kuf Hei, that any of the meat that's outside the water during Kvisha is mutter. By the way, you can check the shot there in Sif Katan Aleph, if you remember, and the comments of the Prima Gadim in the Sif Seidas. The Mechaber does specify, and the Ramah doesn't demur, that there's no chashash of Glias Dam Shepeiresh if there is Shishim Keneged Habasar in the Kli in which the meat is soaking. So if the water was 100 times the dam sheperish v'yatzal l'chutz, right? It's batel in the mayim when it comes out, and then if it's reabsorbed, it's not iser anymore. The reasoning is simple. Like in all cases of iser v'heter, the forbidden dam sheperish v'yatzal l'chutz is batel b'shishim immediately upon hitting the water. When the dam is reabsorbed, it's reabsorbed in the water in which it's already batel. It doesn't just reabsorb the dam, it reabsorbs the dam within the water, and it's batel in that tarovus. Okay? Now, I would like to harken back to another point that we discussed in Siman Kuf Hei. If there's shishim of the mayim against the blood, and then when it reabsorbs, it's reabsorbing a tarovus of Iser v'heter, where nefach ha'iser lios kulo heter.
Doesn't it have to be salted after that?
Sorry?
Does it still have to be salted?
No,
after
it's, well...
How do you know what's... No, what blood has
I
been,
still
has
might left. Have to salt it, because I would have to salt whatever didn't come out.
Right, and we have no idea what
happened. Right,
gonna,
right, so okay, but we'll get to that, okay? Now, we reflected on the fact that there are two possible interpretations in any comparison made by Chazal. A comparison can come to highlight similarities. Gabriel smiling is what I'm going to say. Or it can come to pinpoint differences. Right? We can say that kavush to mevushal comes to say kavush is the same as mevushal. Or that it comes to highlight similarities. Or we can say that kavush is only kimevushal. It's only like it, but isn't wholly equivalent. In the former interpretation, the force of kavush kimevushal is to highlight similarities. In the latter, it's to highlight distinctions. And again, I'll give the same example. Shomei ke'one. If you hold like Rashi, that Shomei is only ke'one, it's as if you show up in Mayor Bloomberg's office to speak on behalf of a group and they come with you. You speak, everybody else listens. Why are they there? They're there to lend their support. You're speaking on their behalf. They're mitzareis to you. Therefore, Rashi says, if you're in the middle of Shemone Esrei and we get to Kedusha, Omeid b'shosei. Why? Shomei ka'one. Your yod say Shomei ka'one. However, you could say that it's not that it's just like one, it's equivalent to one. So you could hold like the Riyam Rabbeinu Tam in Tosfos, who say If you get to Shimon Esrei and they get to Kedusha, you can't stop and listen because Shomei Ka'onetz, if you're Mafsi. So they actually hold that whoever is Yotzei something Shomei Ka'onetz isn't just Mitzarei if he's speaking on my behalf. It's as actually as if he's saying it, and therefore it's a Hefsek. Okay? Now, a Hefsek. Okay? No, we pass it like Rashi. So therefore, since we pass it like Rashi, there's not Gemina the other din in other dinim in. And I'll take just a minute because it's a favorite topic of mine, right? So I'll take and by the way, that's probably the suffix of the Mogen of Ram at the beginning of Hilchos Sfira, where he says, I'm Mesupak. Whether or not you can be Yotzei Sfira, Shomei Ka'one. He says you can be Yotzei to Bracha, but he says, I don't know if you can be Yotzei Sfira. Because any mitzvah that is a mitzvah only b'dibur, right? Is Shomeika, you can be Yotzei Shomeika Oneh. Somebody can speak for you. Or you're actually speaking through Shomeika. Maybe that's the pool of the Torah. If you hold like Rashi, they're speaking on your behalf. If you hold like Tosis, you're actually as if you're speaking. That's what the Torah's Chiddush was. Okay. Now, what then does it create a problem? If there are other things physically that one has to do that are part of the mitzvah, right, then maybe you can't be Yotzei. If you hold like Tosfos, right, you can be, because if you're saying it. If you hold like Rashi, you're not saying, you're only Mitzarei. So if there's a particular requirement for Amira, and Rambam apparently holds like Rashi. So Rambam says by doing Masvos, that you can't be, Rambam, we conclude this. The Rambam says, he doesn't say one person says on behalf of everybody. He says that you can say it word for word, or Mikra Bikuri, right? Why? Because there's an obligation. The Torah says, V'amarta lifnei Hashem Elokecha. Amira means to say a particular thing. Dibur means to speak. Amira says to say a particular thing. That's why the Torah says, Daber al b'nei Yisrael v'amarta lehem. When it says, gives you the text, it says either lay more or v'amarta lehem. When it just says to speak, that just means to convey an idea. And somebody can convey an idea on my behalf, but someone can't do a mitzvah shebegufo. Be great, I'd like to make you a shaliach. Tomorrow I don't feel like putting on tefillin. I'll make you a shaliach to put tefillin on for me. Can't do that.
But he says tefillah is just a mirror. So, contemplation. Tefillah is just a kavana.
It might be. But it might be that the act of dibur is not a physical act. So if it's not a physical act, and therefore here hor ke dibur dani, right, then I could do it on somebody else's behalf. Now, that therefore then raises a question. According to the Ramban, Kiddush, what's the mitzvah of Kiddush? It's just dibur. Zochar el yayin is asmachta. So it says Zochar is Yom Shabbat Sukkot Show, beginning of Arvei Pesachim. Zochar el yayin is just an asmachta. If Zochar el yayin is just an asmachta, then the mitzvah is dibur, then somebody else, I can be Yotzei, and that's just and maybe the din is just that whoever the Mekadesh is has to have a kos of wine. If we hold like Rashi, and we say it's only dibur, and the obligation is only for the Mekadesh, he's the only one who's the Osea mitzvah. If he's the only one who's the Osea mitzvah, then he's the one who has to have the cup in his hand. I therefore don't have the cup in my hand, and therefore on Shabbos, I can be Yotzei Kiddush. If I just listen, I need not drink wine, I need not have a kos in my hand, and so wrote posted, right? On the other hand, there's a famous tshuva of the Rabbi Akiva Eger, who says that even if you recite Kiddush Mila B'Mila with the Mekadesh, you're not Yotzei. Right? It appears you actually have to have a kos in your hand. The Chacham Tzvi apparently holds in the tshuva that you have to have a kos in your hand. Okay? Shulchan Aruch Rav says you don't, by the way. You see, I'm always knocking Lubavitch here, I give a citation. Right? So anyway, I give you another where this comes about. Okay? This highlighting similarities, highlighting differences. So you can see the same thing in the Machlokas of the Chazon Ish and the Brisker Rav, or the Beis Halevi, concerning whether or not one Kohen can recite. Why don't we have one Kohen recite? You ever hear Kohanim sing? You know, usually it's a real struggle. I happen to be a Shtekel Chazon, I'm a Kohen. It's a real struggle for me to sometimes sing with the other Kohanim. Kohanim is a group, or a very good-looking group of people. I've never met a Kohen who isn't very physically attractive, but they can't all sing. They can't all sing. But they can't all sing, right? So why not just have one Kohen, Barovam Hadras Melech, have one Kohen, and they answer Amen. So because it's Emor Lohem, right, So you have the Beis Halevi says one Kohen can't say it because he requires a mira, and a mira is a physical act, right? Chazon Ish doesn't agree. Okay, but anyway, that we can see that whole malach, right? The Shomea Kaona in Rashi's, it comes to highlight differences in the Ri and the Rabbeinu Tam. It comes to highlight similarities, their equivalent. So Shomea is Mamish Kaona. Now, by the way, that raises a particular... Somebody asked me a question then, okay? What do we do on Pesach night? So Chazal or Misakein that the Kos Rishon has to be on the Kos of Kiddush, right? You don't mind to take a little side, you know, excursion. So the Kos Rishon has to be on Kos of Kiddush. If you hold like Rashi, that only the Kos in the hand of the actual Mekadesh, he's the only Osa Mitzvah, and you're Mitzdarek to him, then your Kos that you hold in your hand, if he recites Kiddush, maybe isn't Kos Shel Kiddush, right? So therefore, there's a minig, and I understand the minig this way, that everybody recites, including women, would recite Kiddush together, or maybe even separately. You don't want to wait for everybody to say, they recite because the Kos they're holding in their hand, you want to be a Kos of Kiddush. According to Malach, the way that we said Rashi, it might be that the Kos in the hand of the Kaddish is the only Kos of Kiddush. Okay? If that's the case, because he's the only Osei Mitzvah, and you're only Mitzdarek to him, if that's the case, then when you drink your cup of wine, maybe isn't a Kos of Kiddush. Okay? So maybe the best way of doing this, maybe, would be that everybody recites Kiddush. Maybe that's the reason that we have the people consecutively recite Kiddush. But anyway, the point I want to make to you is that when we say Kavush Kimivushal, do we mean to say that they're equivalent, as we said in Siman Kofhei, we said, is it Mivashio Mamash? We saw the Prima Gadim, or is it only Mavliya Umapli? So it's only a quasi kind of Bishul. So when I said that when we got to see, when we were in Siman Kofhei, I said when we would get to Yochos Malicha, we would see again the halachic force of Kavush Kimavushal is essentially to highlight differences too. Like Bishul, the Kvisha process affects Blia and Plata, right? Coming and going in and out of the... But unlike Bishul, the Dam doesn't change its halachic essence as it does in Bishul. Dam Shabishlo already is, already, you know, goes down a level. So the words of the Prima Gadi, if you get a chance, please look at them in Psicha, Lihokos Malicha. It's Dibra Maskil, the Ika Le'uyune, and you'll find it in our edition that we use in Amud Samach Beis. The Ika Le'uyune, Dam Hayotze Al Yedei Kvisha, Me'es L'es Bitzonein, I Have Dvar Torah Od Rabbanim. Omash Hebianu Lizeh, the Dam Shemalcho, the Rabbanim, Lo Lamdu Elami Maliach Kiroseach, Kamoshe Kasav Rashi, B'menachos Dav Bafala. Imkain kol shekain kavush to have a kimivushal legamre, that they're exactly equivalent. O dilma divadai kavush emivashel rak mavli umavliya lechu. Vidami lekol the klisheni to have a diaraisa okitik savina. Okay. By the way, if the water was divar chari, that the water, I mean the medium, then the kavisha process, of course, already occurs in the first 18 minutes if it's seer. And all this you'll find in Siman Kofhei. So you can find that the Prima Gadim there in the Psicha actually questions, does it come to highlight differences or similarities? Okay? Now, our next inyan then is the Hadacha Rishona. We'll then cover meat that was frozen, the actual process halakhically also, and then how to salt meat. The Gemara provides a minimal description of the actual process of Malicha. First we encounter a simple statement of Shmuel, which the Rishonim as ever read quite carefully. You'll find it on Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. Amar Shmuel, Ein HaBasar Yotze Midei Damo Elim Inkein Malcho Yafe Yafo Umeidicho Yafe Yafe. Shmuel mentions two requirements. That the meat be salted yafe yafe, and that it's thoroughly rinsed off, apparently after the Malicha, because he's giving it in order. The Rishonim conclude from Shmuel's the stipulation that the salting be yafeh yafeh, that salt must be sprinkled over the entire surface of the meat so that not a single spot is uncovered. And they get that from Shmuel's words, yafeh yafeh. So if you'll look in Siman Samach Tes, Se'if Dalid, you'll see. Yifazer alav melach, shelo yisha'er bo makom, b'li melach, v'yimlach, kidei shelo yehe ra'ui le'achel. So much salt that even I would need it. Imoso melach. And if you look in the Be'er HaGrasham, Sif Kut Yodalad, you'll see, Kamosha Mar Shmuel, Molcho Yafe Yafe. So he links directly, the Gra links directly, the Mechaber's stipulation that you have to do it on both sides and not leave a single place and make it so salty that it's inedible, from the words Yafe Yafe. Yeah.
What you don't see is any specification about the kind of salt. Are all salts the same? Or is
no, well, we do. We will. And we're going to get to that. Okay? We are going to get to that. Okay? And anybody who's seen commercials about a certain SUV has seen that they mention all different ways people get their cars out, and one of them says, I use kosher salt to get his car out. Okay? Somebody sent me that in a WAV file to get their car out of the snow. So they throw diamond kosher salt on the... it says in the commercial. I don't know what car it is, but somebody sent me a little pic of it. Okay? I have such a network of people, there can't be any even indirect mention of Yoredeya in the popular medium that I don't get somebody sent to me, you know. Okay? All right? So they get that it's got to be on both sides and in every space. The Mechaber Shom. Umocho mishnei tzadim v'ofos tzarech lemocham gam bifnim, mi bifnim. Now, anybody who's ever seen a chicken other than in its empire version knows that there's a halal, right? There's a space inside, and right? And there's meat on the inside, and that has to be, right? We say salt goes through the on both sides. So therefore, both sides of that is some, one side of it is in the other, you know, is inside the thing, okay? So we crack open the chest, right? After the chicken's been shechted, right? And we salt on that. In the case of chickens, then it means inside as well because they're usually cooked whole. And the cavity formed by removing the innards must be salted so that the meat's salted on both sides. And all this, one can see from the Rush, the Ron, and the Mordecai, can be read into Shmuel's statement. That's where the Rishonim all get it from, yafeh, yafeh. That's all that it said, yafeh, yafeh, and that's what led to all these procedures. Yes.
Why does it have to be salted on both sides if it goes through all the way? We don't estimate, we don't care about the thickness of the meat, so why shouldn't we say that?
Because that constitutes yafeh yafeh, that there's not a spot on the thing, just from those words.
Right.
Okay? After the salting, the meat also, remember he said, has to be rinsed off, yafeh yafeh. So from these words too, the Rishonim find a source for one of our practices. So the Mechaber in Sif Zion says, Kodem sheyitein abasar b'kli shemei dichobo, that's after the Malicha, Yinapetz me'alav ha'melech sha'alav, o shi'ishtefenu b'mayim, v'charkach yitena basar b'kli, sh'medichim bo, v'yadichenu pa'mayim. And if you look in the Be'er HaGrasha, Sif Kut and Lamed Aleph, yadichenu pa'mayim, k'mo shamar sham, u'medicho yafe yafe, mashma shtei hadafos. Okay, and he quotes the Ron. So the Grasha apparently had this idiosyncratic view that halacha comes from the Gemara. Okay? Not something to be memorized.
No, but it's saying it's more than that. Yafe yafe now means that you're washing both sides.
That's where they learned it from.
Yeah,
okay? You may not like it, but that'll be machlokas, you and the Rishon. Right. Okay. Shmuel doesn't mention anything at all about hadacha before the salting, remember? It's just moleach yafe yafe, meidiach yafe yafe. So Rav Huna is cited next in the Gemara. He doesn't either. Itmar Rav Huna mar moleach umediach. So like Shmuel, Rav Huna describes the process as salting, and then rinsing thoroughly. We'll define hadacha more precisely once we get into the procedural details. There's no mention of hadacha rishona, dehainu kodem amlicha. A more authoritative source, though, does mention it. These were casual or memra of amoraim. B'masnisa, the Gemara says, Tana meidiach moleach umeidiach. So now we've got a machlokus between a brisa, right, a masnisa of higher authority, right, and a mora. So the Gemara answers, v'la plige, Rav Huna mayre dechalele bei tapcha. The reason Rav Huna doesn't mention a pre-salting hadacha is that he is speaking of a case when the butcher has already done hadacha after removing the gita nasha. Apparently a common practice. In this case, then, the Bala Bais doesn't need to worry about hadacha rishona because it was already done. Okay? For Rav Huna, then, it's not that there's no hadacha rishona, just that the Bala Bais doesn't necessarily have to do it, and therefore he doesn't mention it. Now, the Gemara provides no more information about the pre-salting hadacha rishona. Not an explanation why, or stipulations how. That's all it says. That's all that it says. But lots of ink's been spilled on the subject. This remains then the task of the Rishonim. Because of its practical halachic consequences, there's an extensive discussion in among the Rishonim as to the reason for Hadacha Rishona. We can generally categorize the various reasons given by the Rishonim into two general groups, which are themselves, to use a Mishnaic expression, Shtayim Shehein Arba. Okay? One entire group of Hadacha of Rishonim views Hadacha Rishona as principally intended to remove any surface blood on the outside surface of the meat. A second group are those who see the primary purpose of Hadacha Rishona being to soften the meat in order to make Malicha effective. I got to tell you that I first learned Yeridaya, I learned Malicha first without the benefit of learning Cholin. And I suffered through it. It just seemed like arbitrary details. So I've gone out of my way here to organize things in a conceptual way so that you walk away with understanding of the halachos. And unfortunately, it's one of the negative things maybe for you. I think it's a positive that you chose to do your day with me because I a lot of other shirim don't do malicha, you know, but maybe they do now, I don't know. So we got two reasons. Either it's because of the blood, we rinse it off because of the blood that was on there, or we rinse it off to soften it to make the malicha process more efficacious. Okay? Among those who focus on the surface blood, for instance, is the Mordechai. Although I'm certain you'll check out a shita inside, I can tell you where it is. I know you're going to run right to the Gemara after this. Parakola Basar, Siman Tufshin Chaf Aleph. We'll make do with the Shach's summary in Sif Katnalik. Tzarich lehadiach abasar kodem malicha. Hata'am kideish yisrakech abasar v'yetze dama oyedo malicha ran v'yesh omrim v'mordechai. The Mordechai first mentions the other yesod, the hainu yisrakech abasar, but he doesn't go into any detail. Leading then many mefarshim to conclude that the Shach maintains that the principal function of Hadacha Rishona is to remove whatever is on the surface of the meat. Ki lahavir halichluch she'al chaticha shim lo kein hamelach nismale mimenu b'shuv lo yotzi hamelach adam shebchaticha. So the Mordechai Shita is that the surface blood and other guk on the outside of the meat will be absorbed by the salt, and it therefore won't retain enough potency to draw the blood out of the meat. It's already filled with what it absorbed on the outside. The Shach quotes a nafgamina for the Shita, and in fact for Shita Saran, which is to soften the meat. If the Hadachah Rishona was never performed, then the Melach never did its thing, and the meat can simply be salted a second time after the Hadachah Rishona is finished. Since the salting isn't effective without a Hadachah Rishona, we could simply do it again. Olahana treitame mahane im yachzor b'yedichenu im lechenu afilu achar zman. It didn't soften it, so I'll do it again. It didn't get off the surface, so I'll do it again. But here's what I meant when I characterized this yisod of the surface blood as shtayim shehein arba. There's another shita that also focuses on the stuff on the outside of the meat, but sees a different reason for its removal through a thorough hadacha rishona. Aval hagos maimon kasvu b'shem smak hatam mitnei shal melach mavliya ve'eno machli tam shehu be'ein. If you have actual dam be'ein that you can see, it's only mavliya it and not maflit. V'chein kasav v'smag, v'chein kasvu b'sharei dura uv'hagah sharei dura. Didam sh'al gabei basar roseach, v'asur delo shayach mishrak sharik, it doesn't roll off, v'lo kibolo kakpolto, that the way it went in is the way it's going to come out. V'chein nami tzirich lomar l'didhu delo amrin en gabei gam dam be'ein, the ayyadei the tarid lemiflat lo bala v'hen kasav arav v'sof siman ayin. The smock is also concerned. Let me summarize. I just read you right out of the shot. The smock is also concerned about the junk on the surface of the meat, but for a very specific reason. There's usually dam be'ein on the outside of the meat. It's cut up. It's cut up raw, right? And what was that dam? That dam is dam ayivarin sheperesh v'yatzal l'chutz. This dam doesn't interact with the salt for our benefit. The salt is mavliya dam be'ein, which it then cannot extract. The Shach cites a number of possible svaros from the breadth of Iser v'heter that might possibly be considered as a reason to matir meat in which dam be'ein is in a position to be injected by surface salt during malicha. Mishrak shara, that the blood drips off the meat. Kibolo kachpolto, the general halachic statement that if you can get something in, you can get it out in the same method. That while the meat is exuding dam, it can't be absorbing at the same time. He gives all these svaras from the length and breadth of Iser v'heter. None of these svaras, well known to the smach, from other sugyas in Iser v'heter, apparently apply to dam be'ein, that is huvla al yedei malicha. The bottom line, no possibility to resalt this meat. So we have then a second opinion about surface blood, but this take on surface blood means that if you did it without hadachah rishona, you're finished. Note carefully that the Shach says kibolo kachpolto doesn't apply to dam be'ein. That's such an important principle in halacha. It's actually on my family's coat of arms. It says in Latin, kibolo kachpolto. It's our family motto. So why does the cousin of the Shita, Mordechai Shita, not concern itself with this? There's a huge nafgamina between these two shitas. Namely, whether we can salt the meat again after doing a proper hadachah rishona. The Sisei Das explains at the end of Sif Katan Aleph. It's the last three lines in the Beyer divrei mishmeres habayis b'tshuva. V'yirtze b'zeh d'ladchila meidichin d'hava k'modam be'ein v'dievet anu omrin d'hava k'dam pleita. We can see from this comment of the Sif Seidas of the Prima Gadim that those that don't worry about the surface blood being incontrovertibly injected into the meat maintain that it is an actual dam be'ein, but a more minor category. It's dam pleita, it's dam that came out, that then went back in. The tam influences the performance. If the hadafa rishona is simply to remove what's on the surface, whether we regard it as dam be'ein or some lesser category of dam pleita, the process is quite simple. The meat's rinsed off long enough to remove everything on the surface. No more, no less. The only nafkamina between the two sheets is whether second salting could work. According to the Mordechai, yes. According to the Smach, no. Smach says that this first without took with blood inside the meat. Right? The second yisod, the hadafa rishona, comes to soften the meat, is also shtayim shehein arba. Although the difference between the two is really just one of degree and not essence. According to the Ran, the meat needs to be softened on all sides. This necessitates then a long rinsing with shifshuf, rubbing the meat until it is softened all over. The Yesh Omrim in the Mordechai, so the sheet is called in the literature, it's referred to as the Yesh Omrim in the Mordechai, requires an even more thorough softening. The meat needs to be soaked for about half an hour in order that it's softened not only on the outside, but through and through. So the melicha will work. As we saw in the first shach, one can go back and salt again if one didn't do the hadaka rishona the first time around, since there's no deleterious effect to salting meat before it's sufficiently softened. Only time you have a deleterious effect is if there was surface blood, like the smock in the, right, so far. The Ramah lechatchila follows all the shitos. Namely, since they are cumulative, by doing the most chamur one is yotzei all of them. Seif Aleph. Lechatchila yizaher lishroso neged chatzisha lehadicho heite v'mei hashriya avalim lo shra'o Rak heidicho heitev sadi, which means that b'dieved he doesn't hold like the single opinion that requires shriya. Okay. Note the Ramah's requirement that we wait a little after the hadaka rishona for the water to drip off the meat, so that excess water won't dissolve the salt. In practice, we wait very little, if at all, since we use very coarse salt that won't be affected by the little drops of water that might adhere to the surface of the meat. Whew, it's a lot. Sif Seidas says that la'atchila, we wash it off as if it's dam be'ein, but b'dieved we say it's only dam pleita. Okay, we make it a less chamur category. Okay? Yes?
There would be a time limit also, right? You have to keep washing it.
Well, if it's to soften it, yes.
But also the blood, because right. Blood could then come out, harden, and then you'd have the same problem.
Okay. All right, we're going to get to that.
Okay. And,
I'm still focused on differences between shitos and hadaka. Okay? Now, we've already mentioned the Rosh's requirement cited in the Mechaber that the meat be completely covered by salt. But the Eved, if one did not completely cover the meat, but the salt was dense enough so that there was no spot on the meat which could be ra'ui l'achila, that is sufficient. This is, in fact, by the way, Shitas HaRashba. for the dimensions of the reliability of Shitas HaRashba B'diyeved, you can Ayin B'Havus Das B'Chidushim Sivkotin Chav, I think. In fact, the Shach writes that the general practice among Jews is not to be medaktikim like the Rosh, afilu l'hadfila. There's a little cooler. How long does the meat have to remain in the salt? All Shmuel said was, yafe yafe. And heretofore, all we've seen is the requirement that the meat be salted on both sides. Actually, there is a source in the Gemara for the requirement to salt on both sides. In Menachos Daf Chaf Aleph, the Gemara discusses salting in the Beis Hamikdash. Ketzad hu oseh, mevi ha'evar, v'nosein alav melach, v'hofcho v'nosein alav melach umalehu. Abaye adds, v'chein likdeira, meaning that when we cook meat for ourselves, we should also salt on both sides. The Rashba maintains this is only chachila. The Rosh disagrees. The Ramah decides that we can follow the Rashba only behefseid merubeh. If it's less than 12 hours since the salting of the first side, one can then salt the second side. That's the Ramah in Seif Dalet. Okay? Now, I'm disappointed. I always get the following question. This is the first year I've been asked this question. Maybe you were going to think of it and send it by email. Could have been. If the Dam Sheperesh Bashishin is Batel in the Mayim, then why don't we kasher meat Ayudei Kvisha? Soak the blood out. The Dam HaPoresh Min HaBasar is Batel B'mayim. I'm always asked this every year B'shishim. And even if the water will go back in, being Nivlaim B'basar, there's no Kveda because it's the Mayim is Batel. And Yesh L'Tareitz, even if it wasn't an Inyan of Ein Mevatli Nisur L'Atchila, well, the Basar still requires Tikkun. Didn't we say Kavush Kimavushal? It's mafli to mavliya, but it's not bishul mamash. So anu anan chayshinan the lo yetsay kol adam, like Gabriel said, shebetoch habasar al yedei kvisha, because it the koach of kvisha is not like the koach of bishul, because it's only kavush mavushal, right? Okay. If you want to see this, ayin chavos das simon samach tes in the beurim sif kut and chaf aleph. Who writes explicitly what I just said? Okay, so I've been asked that question a lot. It was actually implicit. Gabriel was asking a question. He was answering a question that wasn't asked, but in effect, that's what he did. Okay. All right. So therefore, Kavush Kemevushal and Simon Kuf Hay is really lechumra. We estimate the kulo shema hifli behivliya. Ad kidei bishul. But we're not makil to say that it was machlit legamre kamo bishul. And so the halacha is in hilchos bishul. Another way to look at it. Okay? And I'm just looking through other questions that I've been asked. So what do we say if you salted it without doing the Hadaka Rishona? Can you then rinse it off and salt it again? The Mechaber says, Im melach lo edich techila yedichenu v'im lechenu shenis v'yesh osrin, come along the Ramah and says, v'chein noagim, usher. Okay? So if somebody salted the meat without the, we hold that the meat might have been mavliya, the dam be'ein, on the outside. Okay? And who's that like? The smach. Okay? It's a lot of material, so I'm going to end. It's a lot of stuff. No, it's all that once. It's all once. Whatever came out through the. Are you talking about the distinction that we saw between possibly the kula of the difference between dam be'ain and dam pleita? Is that what you're asking about? Because you were intrigued by that before.
Right. Yeah, but I'll have to go back to that. But right now, I'm just wondering. We're saying.
Oh, okay. I didn't get your question.
We're saying that the dam be'ain would be. If there was no hadotah, then the salt would dry it back into the meat.
Right, it would be mavliya it back into the meat.
Right.
Salt is on the surface, because there's blood on the outside, we worry that it'll drive it back into the meat, and that will not come out again, and therefore ain takana to this meat.
Right. But once we do the hadotah, we're saying that it'll, cause the meat to be polluted. Once you've done hadotah, how does that change things?
You don't have the surface blood anymore.
It's just wiped out all the surface
right.
blood.
That's the reason why you did it. If you hold that's the reason why you did it,
right?
So if you hold the reason why you did it, but that's the shtayim. That's say you have shtayim shehein arba. That's how you have, right? But you have two ways to look at that. Was it just to get the surface blood off because otherwise the salt couldn't get in? Or is it they were actually worried about the surface blood getting in like the smock? Okay? We hold the hadchila like all the shitos, like all the deos. Okay? That's what Hadaka Rishona is. Now, I'm debating when I'm going to do this, okay? I think I may not finish Malik on Wednesday. I'm thinking of giving on Wednesday because we get a bigger crowd. I'm thinking of giving a review of Taruvos on Wednesday. Remember I said I was going to give a review of Taruvos. So I'm thinking of giving a review of Taruvos, which is very much like the T-Mobile or Singular or whatever thing on commercial in which... They get limited talk time and say, can you pick me up at something? Because I'm going to go, you know, people talk that way. No, it's not going to be that fast. But as I explained to Gabriel, the purpose of this is if you and I were the professor in Gilligan on Gilligan's Island and we had nothing to talk about Taruvos, and you said, tell me about Taruvos, this is what I would tell you. Okay? In other words, what can we, after all the details of everything that we learned, can we remember Taruvos in an overall general way? So I was thinking of doing that on Wednesday, but either, depending upon how the week works out for me, I'll either finish Malicha or I'll do that. Okay? I still owe a couple of PDFs on the end of Basar B'Cholov, and I still owe 10 cases, Halacha L'maisa, of Basar B'Cholov for you to try to figure out on your own, and that's what I'm going to explain those. Then we're going to do them together.
What time are we?